Awesome. Okay. Got a new phone, and you know, that just like your whole world has to, it just takes a while to get organized with that thing. I'm telling you, it's amazing how we get used to stuff. Anyway, welcome. Good to see y'all, and glad to be back up here and getting an opportunity to speak. Sunday night, how many of y'all have ever been to Haven for Hope? My son and I went down there to serve supper. And so Haven for Hope is basically a huge place for the homeless to go. People with families, single people, elderly, whoever's homeless, whoever down and out, whoever is broke and has no place to go, no money. So Richard and I went down there to serve dinner. And you do kind of the food prep, and then they have, you know, you serve about 300 to 400 homeless people that come through the line. And so they have volunteers. There are like 8 of us there. And so Richard was on the food line, and I volunteered to work the little scanner where you scan everyone's card, because they all have a card that they have that has their name and their picture, or they write down. And so I was like, oh, good. Yeah, I'm going to get to greet every single one of these people and, you know, just love on them. I love that. I want to make eye contact and just, you know, let them know that they're loved and adored. And so the chef who works the dinner shift, he's there from noon and he cooks dinner every night, and he's standing there with me. And as the people, you know, come through, and I'm like, hi, how are you, scanning? And he just begins to say, God loves you. Don't give up. Hey, he's on his way. Jesus loves you. This chef was so grounded in his faith, and he was so determined and intentional to shout that out and share that gift of faith. I mean, his faith was like a megaphone. And Haven for Hope, because I was looking up, they're not a, you know, religious organization. It's just a place of hope. But he had no problem just saying, Jesus loves you. He's on his way for you. Don't give up. Tomorrow's going to get better. And as he and I were talking, because sometimes the line would have, you know, there wouldn't be someone coming through, he said, no, I really feel like God sent me here. Like, I've been sent here by God. And this is his whole purpose, is to just share that faith and pour it out on those people. And I want to mention him, because I really see someone like that as heroes in our faith.
Yes.
You know, he's not going to get national recognition. Someone's not going to, there's not going to be someone going, oh my God, I love what you said today. I mean, he's not going to get a lot of applauses. He doesn't have a podcast. He's just there. But I really, someone like that to me is a hero in the faith. Because day after day, he shows up. He's not ashamed of his faith. I don't know what goes on in his life, but to stand there, and y'all, it's not easy. You know, some of them are in there for recovery, and I mean, you can tell. I mean, the enemy just wants to label, you know, hopeless, or write defeated, or downtrodden, or broken. I mean, you can see it on their faces. Some of them who've maybe been there are a little more hopeful. Some that are just coming in, you can tell they don't even want to look you in the eye. But he is so determined that they are going to know that they are loved, that Jesus loves them. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. And someone like that encourages me. Someone like that really encourages me, because I have to say, you know, every January I kind of spend that time really unpacking the previous year with God and sort of asking his vision for the road ahead. Like, what do you see this year becoming? And as I was doing that, I found it interesting, because I was saying to God, you know, I don't want this year to be like last year. Because last year was very, very challenging on, I felt like, every single level that I lived. I was like, I don't want it to be like last year. So that sort of comes across as more like a demand than a question. So I just sort of felt myself getting stuck there for a while. And finally I asked God, I said, God, you know, What's that all about? Why am I saying that? What is that all about? And his response was, Ashley, that's dread. You're dreading. And I said, well, what is dread? Anybody ever felt dread before? Like, you're just dreading an event, or you're dreading something coming down the pipe, or whatever it is. You just have this sense of dread. And he said, dread is when you are pulling from your faith versus mine. And I never heard that before. And I said, well, Lord, I said, I want to unpack that. How do I pull from your faith then and not mine? So what I really wanted to to talk about with you all today is really unwrapping his gift of faith that lives in us. This is not about our Christian faith as a whole. I'm talking about our personal faith, the faith that we walk out with. And it's amazing when I ask the Lord, how do I pull from your faith, Lord? It's amazing when you go from that how question out of the why question. I remember in junior high, I was never good at math because I always asked why. Like, why does X plus B equal C? Algebra, like, made no sense to me. I was like, why? Why are we doing this? What is the purpose? I don't get this. And then in ninth grade, I finally remember thinking, all right, just show me how. And the minute I asked how, it was like, okay, I could get math. Like, it wasn't even a challenge for me. But the why question kept getting me stuck. So when I ask the Lord, how do I pull from your faith, Lord, not mine? He began to show me, and really, y'all, he gave me about three keys that I'm going to share with y'all today. Because I'll be honest, sometimes when I look at my faith, I feel like it looks like a piece of Swiss cheese. You know, there's just holes in it. Like, you know, you think, wow, well, you get up here, you talk about all this God stuff. I'm like, yeah, but I have to get up here and be like, all right, God, you're going to make sense of all this. I mean, I'm writing this out last night, and I'm like, wow, well, I hope this flows together. And I have to go, okay, God, you've got to make this happen today. But when I look at my own faith, I can say it does look like a piece of Swiss cheese. There's big holes, little holes. It doesn't look, it doesn't feel solid. You know, because how many of you know that our faith can feel flimsy, our personal faith? Mm-hmm. You know, it can ebb and flow. It can feel fallible. It can feel fickle depending on the circumstance, depending on the situation. But the Lord began to say to me, because actually, I don't look at it that way. He's like, I want to challenge you because you're measuring your faith. And I do. And he's like, I don't see your faith as a success or as a failure. I don't measure your faith. So the first thing he challenged me with was stop measuring your faith, okay? He was clear that he did not do that. And he said, I want to talk to you about the way that you view success. Because you see your faith as either succeeding or failing you. You know, you either feel full of it and successful, or you feel like your faith just has big holes and you feel like you're failing. Because, you know, to us, when we think of the word success, we think of achievement. We think of accomplishment. We think of monetary gain. Maybe it's popularity. When we think of success, it's like a checklist. It's things to do. We got it. Move on. Okay, I can do this. I did that. Goals, you know, 1, 2, 3. And God's like, that's not how I define success. And y'all, this, it's the Hebrew culture. When they viewed success, when in the Bible it talks about God wants to prosper us, when God wants us to succeed, what that means is in the Hebrew perspective that there's already help on your road so you will accomplish your destiny. God sees success as help on your road. Help is available. Everything you are going to need is going to meet you on that road so you will accomplish all he has for you. That's very different than us going out on our own, individually, trying to succeed. So what that means is success is relational to God. It's not a checklist. Our faith is going to be fluid, but our success is guaranteed because God says, I'm going to meet you on the road, and I'm going to give you every single thing that you're going to need to get down the road and accomplish all that I have on your life. Every calling, every gifting, everything I have poured into you as you begin to step out onto your road, I'm going to give you everything you need, which means I know that when I step up here, for example, he's going to download and give me everything I need to be able to express what he has to share today. It means there's no such thing as failing in our personal faith. When you go to pray for someone, it's his faith. He's going to meet you there. The same thing applies to our kids, to our families, to our spouses. And this is, to me, a real foundational revelation of faith. That we're never going to lack, that we're never going to fail, but that all we need is going to be met by him. It kind of reminds me of when the Israelites were fleeing out of Egypt, and, you know, God's like, I'm going to part the waters, but Moses had to step in the water for the water to part. It's kind of like he's saying, you have to step out onto the road, and then I'm going to meet you there, and I'm going to give you everything you need. It's sort of like, you know, Abraham. We think about Abraham. He was told to go, and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going, but he knew something about success. He knew that success wasn't getting bogged down in the logistics of it. Success was, God told me to go, and God's going to meet me on that road. He's going to give me everything I need to accomplish what he's asked me to do. And the same thing applies to us, and that was success. If you want to open your Bibles, I'm going to give you a scripture for this. It's found in Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, and I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. Because I think these are some of those scriptures that as we go through life, as we go through, you know, maybe the year, those scriptures that really begin to speak to you and sort of burn in your heart, I encourage you, you know, write it up on a card. Put it somewhere where you can see it every single day. And I feel like this will be one of those for our faith walk, especially if there's anyone in here that's ever questioned their own personal faith. God, do I have enough faith for this? I have, so that's why I'm sharing this. Some of you be like, no, I'm solid. Solid as a rock. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. You know, y'all, our faith is going to succeed no matter what. He doesn't say, I'm going to go with you to abandon us. But he says, I'm going to go with you to make a way. We need to remember that it really isn't about the practicality of the situation. It isn't about the logistics. It's about connecting. Success in God's eyes is, are we connected to him? I remember he said, actually, you know, thinking about last year, he said, and I'll show you how I did this with you. Because see, sometimes it's just easy to go down the road and we forget how we've encountered God or how God has worked through us because we're already on to the next thing. You know, we're so quick. And so he took me back to last January. And this particular evening, at that time, my daughter, who was a senior in high school, my son, who was in eighth grade, it was about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. And they'd gone for a walk. And so in January, that's dark. And they walked around our neighborhood. And my daughter called me. And she said, Mom, I hear screaming from our neighbor's house. You need to get over here. Now, we knew the neighbor. Not well, but we knew the neighbor. And I was like, what kind of scream? She goes, Mom, I don't know. It's bad. You need to get over here. So I get in my car and I literally remember saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I think he was probably saying, oh, don't worry, because I know what I'm going to do through you. And so I get in my car, I drove over there. And by that time, the police had gotten there. And so some people are standing outside. And I said, has anyone gone in there? I can hear the screaming. Without thinking, I just go in after the police. I just go straight on in, and I see my sweet neighbor sitting in a chair, and she is screaming. And she looks up at me, and I just grab her, and I put my arms around her. And she begins to scream, and she says, oh, Ashley. And then she begins to tell me what happened. And I'm not going to go into the details, but her husband had taken his life. So I just held her, and I thought, I know why I'm here now. And that's where God said, Ashley, remember, I met you there. I just needed your arms. I just needed your arms. And I remember just holding her, and she is just screaming. And y'all, there aren't any words. Like, you don't say things like, well, it's going to be okay. It's not. There's nothing okay about all that. And I just held her, and I just remember thinking, Jesus, just come through me. Jesus, just be released. And so that began a whole series that night of, because at that point, they're not letting anybody in and out, and there are things that need to be taken care of, and sparing you the graphic details, I took care of it all, which means I saw everything, and I am amazed at how God protected me, because if you know anything about me, my dad died the same exact way. And so it was... it wasn't like I had these incredible words or like I could make everything better. It was just being the loving, comforting presence of Jesus Christ. And God's like, that's a success. That's succeeding. Because you went, I met you, and together you are a comforting presence in the worst moment of her life. And I thought, wow, it began, y'all, to really shift my understanding of our faith. There isn't such a thing as failing. We're not here to measure our faith. We're here to walk out knowing that everything we need, He will supply as we go. I know that sometimes we want it before we go. I like that. I love organization. I love structure. I like to know what's coming, what's going. I like that. But our faith doesn't work that way because success is relational in God's eyes, and it's about connection. So the question to test that one key in your life is, am I focused on the outcome or am I focused on the one? When you're faced with something that is making you feel shaky, ask yourself, am I focused on the outcome or am I focused on the one? These are the ways that we are going to figure out what part of, is this key to faith working for us or not? Am I focused on the outcome or am I focused on the one? Because if we're focused on the outcome, we will start to rate our faith and we'll feel deflated and discouraged. Because we are meant to face things that seem bigger than us, even though they're not. But we are meant for that. We are meant to face the giants. We are meant to face infirmity. We are meant to face these things that without Jesus Christ would scare and shake us to our very core. So if I'm focused on the outcome, I'm going to start rating my faith. I don't know if I have faith for that. I mean, I don't know if I can do that. But if I'm focused on the one, I'm going to stay inflated, encouraged, and connected. And that's where His faith moves through us. It's really not about our faith.
Right.
The second key that the Lord showed me for staying connected to His faith is really understanding the biblical principle of first fruits. And y'all may know about this, you may not. We first hear about first fruits in Genesis 4 when you see Cain and Abel. You see that Abel brings a gift to God out of his the fat portions of his first flock, the firstborn in his flock. Whereas Cain just brings some fruit. And it says that the Lord is pleased with Abel's sacrifice, with his offering. Because what Abel's doing is he's acknowledging, God, you're my source. What Cain's doing is sort of giving him his leftovers, you know. And I'm going to speak about this in terms of our time, because that's what God was really showing me. We live in an age where it's very easy to get in a rush and to give God our leftovers of our time. And the Lord was showing me what happens when we give Him the first fruits of our time, which would mean the very first thing in the morning. And as I unpack the significance of the first fruits, I want you to be thinking of it in terms of time. Although a lot of people use this, and I do believe in this, in terms of income or earnings, people use it as a principle for their tithing. But as far as the faith part of it, I want you to be thinking of it in time, in the morning. The significance of the first fruit is that, one, it honors God as your source, that God is the source of everything. And the Lord really taught the Israelites how to do this, to bring the first fruits of their harvest, of their crops, of their livestock. It was very important that they learn this principle. This giving, this first fruits giving, sanctifies and makes holy, which, because Christ has already made us holy, it just increases the sanctification that we've already been given. It already increases our inheritance. The third thing it does is it releases the fullness of God's blessing. And the fourth thing, it opens up you to receive the blessings. So, you know, I have to say, by the end of the day, I'm not any good to anybody. And honestly, I go to bed about 9:15. So I know that when I get up in the morning, I like to give God the first fruits of my day. And you may be thinking, well, Ashley, I don't have an hour, and I don't think he needs an hour. If you have 10 minutes, if you could set your alarm for 10 minutes, I believe just waking up and saying, Lord, I bless you. Thank you for this day. And just taking that 10 minutes to be with him, what you're doing then is you're honoring him as the source. You're setting him before you. You know, in Psalm 16:8, it talks about how we set the Lord always before us. This is how we do it. We're giving him the first fruits of our day. The morning watch, as the sun rises or as you're getting up, you're setting the Lord before you and you're saying, God, I honor you as my source. I want you to make this day holy. I want your blessings to pour out on me today. And I want to be in a place where I can receive your blessings. And so it can be 10 minutes, 20 minutes, then maybe you increase it to 40 minutes, whatever it is. But I do think that first time of getting up, whether you make coffee and you just go sit with him, the Lord's just showing me that's a real key to connecting. Because what we're learning is that our faith is about connecting. It's not an independent activity outside of him. So when we start off our day just honoring him and connecting with him, even if it's 10 minutes, I've seen Jesus do more in 10 minutes than we can do in 10 years. God doesn't, time, he doesn't look at it the same. It's just about turning to him and acknowledging him and allowing him to be a part of your day. You know, it's really easy to constantly get in a rush and we think we're running out of time, which really isn't true because God redeems all time. But I think what happens when we don't become intentional with the Lord is that we drift. And drifting is really a very slow action that sort of pulls us apart and is hardly noticeable until we've drifted so far away. Until our days, you know, always seem hectic or they always seem chaotic because we're just not intentionally waking up and setting him at the forefront of our day. And I will tell you, the enemy hates intentionality. When you get intentional about connecting with the Lord, it's amazing the things that start happening in your life. Because what happens is the Holy Spirit knows you're going to be intentional and he's ready to meet you even more eager than you are. And then you begin to wake up and you begin to get excited and you begin to get words for your day. And then your day doesn't just feel like a chaotic mess. And by the end of the day, yeah, there are things that happen in your day that aren't great. But you've got this deposit in you that's been ignited simply because you got up and honored him. Psalm 5:3, the scripture for this one is, at each and every sunrise, you will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. Every morning I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and wait for your fire to fall upon my heart. Mm-hmm. That's out of the Passion Translation, Psalm 5:3. I love that. Every morning I lay out the pieces of my life and wait for your fire to fall upon my heart. I need the fire of God to fall upon my heart. I want the fire of God to ignite my faith because my faith can be fickle. My heart can get sad. My heart can feel lonely or broken. I want that. And the way that he's inviting us, it's not a requirement. It's never a requirement. The invitation is, join in this biblical principle of first fruits and become intentional and watch that fire begin to grow and that passion begin to grow. And then you begin to understand that piece of Swiss cheese is going to be infused by him and you're not going to feel like you've got to work up your faith. The third thing the Lord showed me, the third key on this faith strategies is in 1 Peter 1:21. And I have to say that out of all the disciples, when Peter talks about faith, I really perk up simply because I think his faith failed him so many times, or seemingly failed him so many times. So when he makes a statement about how our faith works, I really pay attention to that because he really learns from experience. So 1 Peter 1:21. It is through him, it is through Christ, that you now believe in God who raised Christ from the dead and glorified him, so that you would fasten your faith and hope in God alone. In other words, And this is what the Lord showed me. Where I feel like I have holes in my faith, the Lord showed me his hand coming up under that and infusing all of that. And he said, Ashley, it isn't your faith, it's my faith in you. Fasten your faith. When we fasten something to something else, we attach it, which means we attach our faith to his faith and we allow his faith to rise. So God began to teach me to declare, God, I have faith in your faith in me. Because what I realize is I don't have a lot of faith in myself a lot of the time. And I begin to say, God, I have faith in your faith in me. And when I did that, I began to see things really shift. And I no longer was saying, well, I don't want this year to be like last year. I just kept saying it over and over. And anything I faced or anything I, when I started thinking about, when dread started to want to creep in, I began to say, God, I have faith in your faith in me. And all of a sudden it shifted me from outside of myself and what I couldn't do into him and what he could do through me and allowing his faith to be released. Because you, every time we think that our faith is flimsy, it's really an opportunity for us to become more and more dependent upon him. I truly believe that uncertainty exists to remind us that we are 100% human and that we are made simply to be 100% dependent upon him. In Psalm 46:5 in the Passion Translation, he took me to this verse and it said, God is in the midst of his city, secure and never shaken. And so he said to me, he said, Ashley, I am in the midst of you. I am in the midst of you. I am secure and I am never shaken. So it really was about just stepping aside and letting his confidence and his security flow out of me. I loved thinking about that. I loved picturing that God is in the midst of me. God is in the center of me, secure and never, ever shaken. You know, we have this misconception, and I hear people say it a lot, of, well, I got to work on my faith. And you know, when you tell your brain to work on your faith, like it's going to go into striving and accomplishing and setting goals and duty and checklist, because our brain just works that way. But that's not how God sees it. You know, that's why Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will move mountains. So you're going to take that little mustard seed and you're going to plant it in him. And he's going to grow it and he's going to capitalize on it and he's going to water it. We're not going to have to work on our faith. We're just going to have to connect with him. Because what we've already known now is success is just connecting with him, is being dependent upon him. And I really think that that's such a launching pad, is understanding that we're not having to work on our faith. It's all about just connecting with him. And that's the place where with God, all things are possible, become possible. And this is where when you think, well, you know what? I don't have 2 hours a day to read my Bible or get all this out. Y'all, it's just about connecting. In fact, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine a week ago, and I said, you know, set your timer. Get out of your head that you've got to memorize scripture or put this in as another thing to work on. Set your timer maybe every hour for 5 minutes and just connect with them and just say, God, I just want to stop and connect with you. I love you, Jesus. Begin to build your spirit man so that when you do have time to open your Bible, your spirit man will guide you in reading that and you devour it. Because people think, well, I don't really want to read my Bible because it doesn't feel like it's really, you know, going down in there. It just feels like it's sort of falling off. Then just say, you know what? For this season, I'm just going to connect with him. I'm going to stop saying I'm going to work on my faith. And I'm just going to connect with him. And you can do that by setting a timer, and because, you know, my day gets going and I forget things, or setting some time to just listen to worship music and just rest in the thought that it's about connection. You know, when Peter sees Jesus out in the water and he calls out to him, I'm going to paraphrase all this, and he says, you know, Jesus, if you call to me, I'll come out there. And, you know, Jesus calls him out and he begins to walk on water. And then all of a sudden he looks down and his brain clicks in. Oh, the waves are too high. Like, you can't do this. He goes to what he knows and he loses the connection and he begins to sink. And that's what happens with us is when we're faced with certain situations, we default into what do we know? What do I know about this, 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 and that? And we forget about the connection. And that's the difference between fastening our faith. We're no longer fastening our faith to God when we revert back to what we know. What's happening is we're just trying to walk it out on our own. And I really feel like Jesus saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not what you know in that situation, it's who you know, and that's me. You know, I even see this in, I was reading in John 11, where Lazarus has passed away and Jesus has come, and Martha walks up to Jesus and she says to him, I'm in verse 21, she says, my Lord, if only you'd come sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that if you were to ask God for anything, he'd do it for you. And Jesus told her, your brother will rise and live. And she replied, yes, I know. He'll rise with everyone else on Resurrection Day. Do you see how she's in her head? She's not in her face. She's in her head. Yes, yes, I know. And then I love what Jesus says next. He says, Martha, I am the resurrection. Like he's pulling her out of what she knows. Like, I know he's going to rise. And, you know, don't you do this? Like when things get bad, you're like, I know this. I know it's going to get better. And I know, no, I know. And Jesus is standing there going, I am the resurrection. Like, connect with me. Experience me. It's not about, your faith isn't about what you know. It's about who you know. And that's me. I am the resurrection. I am the life. He's like, don't get tangled up in all that stuff. I am he. I am here. Don't get tangled up in what you think you know or supposed to know or should know or don't know or want to know or could know. I am he. I am here. I am the resurrection. Faith is really that deposit from the kingdom of God. That where God says, you know, the Bible says that God is our inheritance, which means God's faith is our inheritance too. And when we think about the word inheritance, we think, well, that happens when someone dies and it's something that you potentially could live off of. Well, Jesus died so we could have our inheritance now. So when it says God is our inheritance, it's now, and we can live off of that now, which means we can live off of God's faith now. Because that's what's available to us now. So when we go out or when we leave here today, when we do things throughout our week, it's not about our personal faith. It's about allowing his faith to come through us. Let the faith of God be in you. That's what Mark 11:22 says. Let the faith of God be in you. God, I believe in your faith in me. It's not about having to work up or striving to find our faith. It's, God, I believe in your faith in me. So what I want to do to sort of activate this is I want you to put your hand on your heart. And I want you to declare, God, I have faith in your faith in me. And I ask you to ignite the gift of faith you have deposited in me now. I give your faith permission to rise up and be released through me now. Now, let's ask Jesus a question. Jesus, show me a circumstance where I feel shaky in my faith. Let him just show you just a quick picture, whatever you get, the first thing that pops up to your mind. Now ask him, Jesus, show me that same situation with your faith rising up and being released through me. Just give him permission to shift that circumstance with his faith rising up. And you may even want to write down what he shows you, what you felt. And I'm going to close this in prayer. And then there'll be a few of us up here. If you want prayer, we'd love to pray with you. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for the way that you speak to us and you shift our mindset. out of those old stale places, that you shift us to show us that we're never failing. You shift us and you begin to teach us how we are always succeeding because we're making ourselves available to you. Lord, you know our desire is to connect with you. And I thank you, Father God, that you have an even greater desire to connect with us. So I ask, Father God, as these women leave here today, Lord, that you begin to show them the ways that you're connecting with them throughout each and every day. That they begin to pull on your faith versus their own. That they begin to step up and step out and they see how you are meeting them on the road. How you are providing everything that they're going to need to prosper and succeed as they reach their destinies, Lord. As they walk out their calling in you, Father God. I thank you that you are shifting our eyes from the outcome and shifting our hearts to focusing on you, the one. I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all, and we will see you.